God wants to use you the way He made you, okay? God wants to use you the way He made you. 5 weeks, we've been talking about that and saying the same thing every week. God wants to use you the way He made you. So, God wants to use you the way He made you. Therefore, be yourself. What else did we add to that? Submit it to God. Be yourself. Submit it to God. And I think almost every week we have said, if you just be yourself, that's not good. Okay? If you just be yourself, we are sinful by nature. It is easier for us to sin than it is to do right. It is easier for us to sin than to do right. So if I just say, I'm going to be me and I'm going to do what I want to do, then that's not very good. So I need to be submitted to God. I need to be submitted to God. I need to allow God to control my life, but I also need to realize that God wants to use me the way He made me. I don't have to become somebody else in order for God to use me. It is a temptation when you submit yourself to God and give yourself to God that somehow I got to be like somebody else if I'm going to be used by God. That is not true. God wants to use you the way He made you. Some of you are introverts. Some of you are extroverts. Some of you have multiple gifts. Some of you have only one gift. Some of you can do almost anything, and some of you can do very little. For some odd reason, I was thinking this week about my brother and my sister. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and my older brother is multi-talented. He can do almost anything he wants to do. I mean, he can do all kinds of stuff, and my younger sister is a very loving, caregiving person. I was the middle child. You know what that means, right? I just left out. I always teased them. They always loved the oldest one and the youngest one more. Of course, Linda's the oldest child in her family of seven. She says that's not true. But I've always thought that my brother and sister were better than I was. But I've always been fairly comfortable with who I am. I'm who I am, and that's who I am. And while I have made the mistake a few times of trying to copy somebody else, it is a terrible mistake to try to be like somebody else. Now, I can learn from them. I can use principles that they use. I can grow a great deal by learning from what they do. But one of the biggest mistakes I can make is say, I want to be him. I am not him. I cannot be him, and don't make any difference what I do. Today we want to study about Philip. This is what we're doing. Our main purpose is to say God wants to use you the way He's made you. Therefore, you be yourself, submitted to God. And we're taking people from the Bible each week and showing that they were different. They were not the same. They were different people. They had different roles to fill. Now, they did do some things just alike, but today we take Philip. Philip is mentioned in Acts chapter 6 when they selected him as one of the seven deacons. In Acts chapter 6, they selected seven deacons because the church was growing and they had some organization problems, and they solved it by selecting seven deacons. Philip was one of those deacons. He is mentioned again in Acts chapter 8, and then again in Acts 21:9. But anyway, Acts chapter 8 really tells the story of Philip. And so I want us to look at that passage. The first deacon that we talked about was, who was that last week? Stephen, okay? And if I doing this all this week as I worked on this sermon, I kept calling Philip Stephen. If I do that, you raise your hand, okay? Right, whenever I say we're talking about Stephen, you raise your hand. We're talking about Philip, okay? And I'm not sure why I got them mixed up, but the only thing alike is that they both were deacons. So Stephen got himself killed right off the bat. He went to put preaching, and they stoned him to death. Philip, I assume, did the job that he was chosen to do until they run him out of town. And look back at Acts chapter 6, verse 3, that tells us what the qualifications were. We can assume if these were the qualifications and they chose Philip, that he met the qualifications, right? These were the qualifications. They chose Philip. We assume that he met the qualifications. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of great reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. In other words, he had to be a Christian. He had to be a Christian. He had to have a good reputation. He had to be full of the Spirit, and he had to be full of wisdom. And Philip was one of the ones that they chose. Now we drop down to chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. They put Stephen to death, and as a result of that, a great persecution arose against the church. And they ran everybody out of town but the apostles. They'd already tried to attack the apostles. And so the normal process is that you get rid of the leaders and you'll get rid of the organization. They tried that. It didn't work. So now what they're doing is getting the followers. If you are a leader and you don't have any followers, you're not a leader, right? And they got rid of all your followers. So all the people left town, they run out the church out of town. And Philip was one of those that left. Therefore, those who had been scattered went doing what? According to verse 4 of chapter 8, tell me. Preaching the word. I'm going to say that several different times, that that's what Philip did. He went preaching the word. In fact, we're going to look as we study through this, how the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, how the Bible describes what Philip did. And the first thing it says, he was one of the group that was running out of town, and everybody was running out of town, went doing what? Preaching the word. So that's what he was doing, was preaching the word. Philip. Now, this is Philip the deacon, not Philip the apostle. There was an apostle named Philip. This is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip the deacon. You hadn't heard anything about him before Acts chapter 6. And the only thing you know about him is he's a Hellenistic Jew. He's a Jew with Greek customs and Greek language. Okay. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began, tell me what it says he did. Proclaiming Christ to them. What did the verse before say they did? Preaching the word. Now they say Philip proclaimed Christ. We're going to tie this together in a few minutes and talk about the fact he went preaching the word. He went proclaiming Christ, Jesus Christ. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. And let me tell you that I believe I'm right, but there are a lot of Christians who disagree with me, so I want to make sure you understand that. I believe that when the apostles laid their hands on them, they transferred to them the power to perform miracles. When they laid their hands on them to ordain them to be deacons, I believe they transferred to them the power to perform miracles. And so when Philip went down to a city in Samaria, he was performing miracles. They saw the signs, what he was doing, so they were giving attention to him. They were paying attention to what Philip was saying. They were paying attention. They were listening. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So he was performing miracles. I think he got those miracles, the ability to perform miracles, from the apostles when they laid their hands on him. I don't think the miracles continued to everybody. I think it was just those the apostles laid their hands on. So there was much rejoicing in the city. Everybody was happy because Philip came to town and he was healing people and he was talking about who? Jesus. He was preaching the word. He was proclaiming Jesus. And people were listening to him. That means they were paying attention and responding to him. Responding positively. Now, you could say they listened to Stephen as well, but they responded negatively. They put him to death. Okay? But here to Philip, they responded to him. Now, there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. So now we have in this city of Samaria a person who is a magician. You like to see magicians do all that sleight of hand stuff? You know, and it's just fascinating that he can do all that stuff. Well, the Bible says this fellow was a magician. He was able to fool the people. And they all, from smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, talking about Simon now. This man is what is called the great power of God. So he was claiming, he was a magician, but he was claiming that he got this ability from God, that he was able to do these great acts when they were really tricks, but he was claiming they were real stuff. And so when Philip came into town, Philip was doing a lot of similar stuff. So, but Simon heard Philip, and they were giving attention to Simon. For a long time, he had astonished them with the magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching, what was Philip preaching about? Jesus, okay? When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. So when Philip came into town, there arose some kind of competition. We've been thinking this guy is a guy from God. Now we think this guy is a guy from God. So they believed in Jesus and were baptized. They saw what Philip did, and they responded positively. They accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. So he preached about Jesus, and people believed and were baptized. That was the normal response in New Testament days. That should be the normal response today. When you believe the story about Jesus, you're baptized. Okay? Men and women alike. Doesn't say anything about children. I believe the only people who can be baptized are those who are old enough to know what they're doing. It'll be old enough to accept Jesus and to believe in Jesus. Baptism is not valid unless it is based on faith in Jesus, and a baby can't have faith. So these were men and women, both men and women. There was no difference in men and women as far as accepting the gospel. None. The women could accept it. The men could accept it. Look at verse 13. Even Simon himself believed. Now that's a switch. He'd been telling everybody, I'm from God. I'm doing all these great miracles from God. They were really just magic. They weren't miracles, they were magic. But when he heard Philip preaching, he knew that Philip was the real thing. So even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. In other words, being a magician, he knew the difference in magic and miracles. He knew the difference in magic and miracles. And he was constantly amazed at what Philip could do. Now we skip several verses in which the apostle sent two people down there to check on Philip's preaching and do some other stuff. But anyway, we go back to Philip in verse 26. Back to Philip in verse 26. I want you to think a minute, and if you're looking at my sheet of paper I gave you, I want you to look back up and see what it says about him before they elected him. He had to be a man of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, right? Had to be a Christian as well. He came from the disciples. So he was a disciple. He was a man full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, to be full of the Holy Spirit? That means that he was controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert road. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. If we would describe from our perspective, everybody with me? If we would describe from our perspective what Philip was doing in Samaria, he was having a successful revival. I mean, people were responding. People were being baptized. People were believing in Jesus. Even Simon, who the magician, he believed in Jesus and was baptized. So he was having a very successful, big crowd revival, from standing from our perspective. The angel comes along and said, okay, I want you to leave this. I want you to go to a desert place, deserted area. I can just see us saying, But God, things are going great right here. Why do you want me to leave? Get somebody else to go down there. No, the angel said, Philip, I want you to go down there to that desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Verse 27, what did he do? Got up and went. Is that what the angel said do? That's what I'll do. May not make any sense to me, but that's what the angel said do, so that's what I'll do. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I won't go into all the details about who he was and what he could do and what he couldn't do. As a eunuch, he could not go into the temple. Not sure whether he could be a Jewish proselyte or not. But anyway, he was worshiping the Jewish God. He was worshiping the Jewish God. And he had come from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem to do that. And he was on his way back home. And I don't think he was texting and driving at the same time. I think he had a driver. So I think he was reading. But in those days, they read out loud. When you read something, you read out loud. And if nobody's around, you ought to try it sometime. It helps you a lot to pay attention. Because it helps you to, it goes in the ear gate and goes in the mouth. You're more involved in the text. You can read silently and not pay attention to anything you're reading. You ever done it? I just read those words and then I stop and don't have a clue what I just read. I read every word, but I wasn't paying attention. Well, I can do that reading out loud too, but it increases my odds of not doing that. So Philip was riding along reading out loud. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, we don't realize how difficult it was to have a copy of the prophet Isaiah. I mean, we got so many Bibles, we don't know what to do. Most of us got 5, 6, 7, 8 in our home. They just sit down and gather dust. And even if we are Bible readers, usually we just read one Bible. All the others we got stay on the shelf or somewhere. And most of us have several. And here at the church, we try to give them away. We always try to give away people a Bible. We got several paperbacks right down there. Across from the elevator, trying to give away. The print's so small, I can't read it with a magnifying glass. But anyway, we're trying to give it away. Because some of you can see. So some of you can read it. And Diane can read it now. She's got a new eye. She can read it now. But anyway, but we have all kinds of Bible. But in those days, to have any portion of the Word of God was absolutely just amazing, because they had to write it, hand copy it. And when you hand copy, there's not very many copies. And when there's not very many copies, what does that mean for the price? It's expensive. So he had bought a copy of Isaiah, we assume, when he was in Jerusalem. And he was reading in Isaiah. He'd got all the way to the 53rd chapter. And he was reading out loud. I don't know what his driver thought about it, but anyway, he was reading out loud. The Spirit said to Philip, who spoke to Philip in verse 26? Angel spoke to him. Who spoke to him in verse 29? The Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go up and join this chariot. This is the one I wanted you to come see, right here. Now, we're having a big revival up there in Samaria, but I want you to go see that guy. That guy that's reading out loud right there. I want you to go join that chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? What a great question. If you're reading the Bible, somebody come along and say, do you understand what you're reading? Sometimes I could say, yeah, I think I got it. Sometimes I'd say, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. Not a clue. I mean, I go down to Ezekiel and talk about all those wheels and all that stuff. I don't have a clue. Even in Revelation that I studied a lot, there's some things I don't understand. And Isaiah, he was at 53. He was at chapter 53. In chapter 53, actually back for Isaiah 52, 12, through all the way through 53, is talking about the Messiah that was going to come as a suffering servant. And no Jew, probably shouldn't say no Jew, but almost no Jew, understood that to refer to the Messiah. That had to mean somebody else, because Messiah was coming. He was going to be a world king. He was going to rule the world. And this passage is talking about somebody's going to suffer. He's going to suffer. They're going to put him to death. Well, you wouldn't have prophecy about the coming Messiah. They're going to put him to death. So the question was, who in the world is he talking about? He's writing about somebody. Who is it? Hekinah, unless somebody guides me, and he even invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The whole 53rd chapter, plus the last few verses of 52, is talking about a suffering servant. And for anybody in the Jewish religion in that day, that was a tough passage of Scripture. Because their picture of the Messiah was a ruling monarch that was going to restore Jews to their power that they had in the days of David. And now we're talking about somebody's going to be suffering and is going to die. So who in the world is he talking about? The eunuch answered Philip, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Who is he talking about? The first question you asked in Bible study is who? Okay? Who's talking and who's he talking to and who's he talking about? First question. So we want to know, is Isaiah talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? Verse 35 tells us again what Philip did. What did it say in verse 4? Everybody left went doing what? Proclaiming the word. In verse 5, it said Philip went doing what? Preaching Christ. A little bit farther down in that chapter, it talks about he proclaimed the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Right, look at here what he did. This is the only thing it tells us about what he preached. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, if I were to compare this verse with verses 4 and 5, verse 4 said he went about proclaiming the word. Verse 5 said he proclaimed Christ. So what did he do? He preached Jesus from the Scriptures. Right? He preached Jesus from the Scriptures. That's what he did. He wasn't a preacher. He was a deacon, but he preached Jesus from the Scriptures. How many preachers were there? Just one. How many audience? Just one. That's all. Still says he preached to him. From this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, that's all it says. Doesn't say anything else about what else he said. Now, if you study Isaiah 53, well, you can guess a lot of what he said because he began with that scripture. That's a fantastic passage about, it's almost like describing the death of Jesus 700 years before it happened. But he preached Jesus from this scripture. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" How'd he know about baptism? Well, he may have heard something when he was in Jerusalem. I doubt it, but he may have. How'd he know about baptism? When he was preaching Jesus to him, he told him about baptism. When he preached in Samaria, how did the people respond? They believed in Jesus and they were baptized. So that was what he preached. That's what they did. "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And depending on the translation you got, the next verse may or may not be in your translation, verse 37. Most likely it's in the footnote if it's not in the translation. And there's a question about whether it was in the original text or not. There's no question about whether this was a practice in New Testament days. There's a question whether Luke wrote it in the original. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he preached to him about Jesus. He said, "Why can't I be baptized?" What does that imply? It implies he believed what he said about Jesus, right? Doesn't say he believed in Jesus, but it sure implies he believed in Jesus. If he preached to him about Jesus and he said, why can't I respond? Why can't I do something? Why can't I be baptized? Then it would imply that he believed in Jesus. And that's what happened in Samaria, right, when he preached. People believed in Jesus and were baptized. The same thing was happening, whether he was speaking to a big group of people or one person. When he preached, that's what people did. They believed in Jesus and were baptized. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. I don't think there's any question, if anybody's honest with the Scripture, that baptism was immersion. Right? It would have really been silly to go down into the water and then sprinkle some water on his head. That wouldn't have made any sense. Because he probably had enough water to sprinkle him in the chariot with him, don't you think? If you're going from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, don't you think you had some water? Some drinking water? Most likely you had it. So they had enough water to sprinkle him, but they didn't. They stopped the chariot. They got out of the chariot. They went down into the water. He baptized him, and that's the way you're baptized. Biblically, if you want to be baptized, it's by immersion. People are telling me all the time it doesn't make any difference. Well, you can decide whether it makes any difference or not. I'm just saying if you want to be baptized, the way the Bible says be baptized is by immersion. That's the way it was done. They ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water. Okay. So not only did they go into the water, they came up out of the water. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Why would he be rejoicing? He'd accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and now he was on his way to heaven. There's a lot to rejoice about. That was a lot to rejoice about. Now, it is kind of tough that there was no follow-up. The Spirit caught Philip away, and he was just left there. Brand new Christian. Just left. So we don't know what happened as a result of that. There are some people who say, well, a church started in Ethiopia as a result of the Ethiopian eunuch and all that. And that may be true. I don't know. But we don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that. It says the Spirit caught away Philip. Now I want you to notice verse 40, because we're talking about Philip, right? That's who we're talking about today. We're talking about Philip. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching what? Tell me. The gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Now I want you to go back and look at what the Bible says Philip preached. It says in verse 4, right off the bat, he was in a group of people that went everywhere preaching the word. So he's preaching the word. Verse 5, it says he was proclaiming Christ. So he's proclaiming Christ. He's preaching Christ. Look down through that on the number of verse number, but he also talks about he was preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. That somewhere in there? What verse? You don't know either. Okay, it's in there somewhere. And then it says, in verse 35, it says, from this scripture, he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. In verse 40, it says, he preached the what? The gospel. So we got four or five different descriptions of the same thing. They were not four or five different things. They were the same thing. He preached Jesus from the scriptures. If you preach Jesus, if you define gospel like the Bible defines gospel, you know what the gospel is? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So he preached Jesus. I read this week about a denominational convention that they were having years ago, and E.V. Hill, who is a Baptist preacher, but anyway, they had three great speakers, and the other two speakers spoke first. E.V. Hill was last, and he got up, and he was very, very upset because they were having a statewide convention, and he got on the first thing he said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Ain't nobody else told you about Jesus, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You know, he was going to preach Jesus. That's who we're supposed to preach, Jesus. There are a lot of other good things we can talk about. There are a lot of other good things you can do. There's a lot more to the Bible than Jesus. But if you leave Jesus out, you done left out a big part. Okay. If you leave Jesus out, you done left out a big part. So here we have a man who the Bible says was wise. Where in the world did I get that from? 6:3 says he was full of wisdom, right? Also, here's a man who not only was wise, he was full of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I know he was controlled by the Holy Spirit. I know God was directing him because in verse 26, an angel told him where to go. And from a human perspective, it was silly to do that. If you're having a great revival, a lot of people responding, you don't want to leave and go talk to one person. From a human perspective, that don't make any sense. But from God's perspective, that's what God wanted him to do, and that's what he did. So he was led by the Holy Spirit. When he got close to the chariot, the Holy Spirit told him, go talk to this one. This is what I want you to talk to. And when he talked to him, the man was reading the Bible, went wide open. Boy, if you go talk to somebody and they're already reading the Bible, you don't have to bring up the subject. You're already there. Fantastic. Well, that's fantastic. He's already reading the Bible. So he preached to him from the scripture that he was reading. He preached to him Jesus. And just like in Samaria, he responded. The one person responded by believing in Jesus and wanted to be baptized. And he was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord caught him away. He went to Azotus, and from Azotus all the way to Caesarea, all the cities, what was he doing? Preaching about Jesus. So now we have, of the two deacons we've studied, an elected seven. The Bible tells us about two of them. Doesn't say anything about the rest of them. Don't know what they did. But those two, one of them preached, and he was put to death. The first sermon he preached, he was put to death. And he quoted scripture. He was telling the truth just like this guy was. He was put to death. Philip, on the other hand, went to Samaria, which in those days, and don't get upset at me, okay? In those days, the Samaritans were considered half-breeds. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds. They were part Jew and part Gentile. And so a lot of the Jews didn't like them because they were not full Jews. But he went to Samaria and he preached, and he had a successful revival because he preached Jesus from the Scriptures. He was called from that by God, went to one person, and to that one person he preached Jesus from the Scriptures. And that person responded. So, not only should you not expect to be like somebody else, you should not expect to get the same result as somebody else got. You say, well, Lee, here's this guy who's preaching Jesus from the Scriptures, and they put him to death. Here's this guy who's preaching Jesus from the Scriptures, and he had a successful revival and then went and spoke to one person and he was successful in leading that person to Christ. Whose department is that? That's God's department. That's right. He chooses. Don't. Our choice is to do what God called us to do. That's what our choice is. To the best of our ability. But we don't need to be upset and say, well, I don't have as many as somebody else got. Oh, they rejected me. Who did they reject in our two stories? They rejected Jesus by rejecting Stephen. They put him to death. Philip was very successful. Now, I did want to just mention that, and that's one of those passages you want to say something else. Tell me more about this. He had four virgin daughters who were prophetess. There are a lot of times godly people have godly families, and a lot of times it seems like they don't. We get old enough to make our own mind up. We can decide I'm going to reject what my parents said, or I'm going to follow what my parents said. Philip had four virgin daughters who were prophetess. That means they were preachers. Okay? And they were preachers who preached under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Philip was a fantastic fella. But you don't hear much about him after Acts chapter 8. Just that one mention as far as I remember. You see, Philip needed to be Philip. Stephen needed to be Stephen. You need to be you. God's going to use you different than he used anybody else. And he's going to use you the way he made you. You don't have to change and become somebody else. You just need to be you. But you need to be you submitted to God. You've heard me tell the story a number of times of the missionary who went overseas and they reached the place that in the service they were taking up an offering. And these poor people were giving money. And they had like an offering plate, and one little boy tried to climb into the offering plate. And they said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He said, "This is all I got. Me. That's it. That's all I got." Guess what? That's all God wants is you. And he wants you the way he made you. He don't want you to say, "Hey, you got to become somebody else before I'm going to accept you." No, he wants you the way he made you. He wants you to be submitted to him and say to God, "God, whatever you want me to do, if you want me, I'm in the midst of a successful revival. You want me to leave and go speak to one person? Okay, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do." That's what God wants for you. You to be submitted to him.